Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. I've got quite a show tonight. We've got some awesome guests here that's staying here at the ranch, which we're going to get to a little later. We just had Dr. Sala here, who was at the missile range there, the nuclear facility where it got shut down, and he came up to the ranch and had a wonderful experience and got to see the ships. And we'll have him on the show real soon. But that's in the works right now. There's a lot of things going on I kind of wanted to talk about, and it's finally really hitting the news, and people need to pay attention to what's going on. But, you know, we've got, you know, your basic MSG, your aspartame, and, you know, all the psychotropics, the fluoride and chlorine in the water when you brush your teeth makes chloroform, you know, the estrogen mimickers that are in the water. You know, making men pretty much impotent. You know, the Monsanto Frankenfoods that are out there that the rats won't eat, and if they do, they die, along with the cows that also eat these Frankenfoods. And every 30 minutes, a farmer seems to commit suicide over there in India who got involved with their program. So you know, it's getting pretty crazy out there. And then we've got the chemtrails laced with, you know, aluminum oxide, which pretty much dumbs you down, and barium, and interferes with your brain. All these interfere with your brain capacity. You've got ethylene dibromide, which they, that's what they tint your house with when they fumigate your house, you know. And so all these things are being sprayed. And then you add the benzene, you know, in the gas and then the air, you know, after the Gulf spill. We have to really ask ourselves, what in the heck is going on this planet? And it's getting pretty psycho out there. So anyway, on all these levels, when we look at what's happening, it's almost like there's just this mass population control or genocide going on. And it's happening on so many levels. It's the dumbing down and erasing of America. And we need to start paying attention to this, because it is happening. It's just run amok, and we need to, like, stop taking those pills, stop eating that crap, you know, that those Frankenfoods, and turning off our TVs and start figuring things out. Because if you're in the program, you're probably not going to be here too much longer, basically, because that old program is pretty much going out. You know, that's the good news. There's a lot of activity right now. Say some prayers to the people in New Zealand. We've got a lot of friends out there in Australia and New Zealand, and New Zealand got hit with a pretty big quake and a lot of damage there. You know, they keep changing the numbers. It was 7.3 at first, and now it's back down to a 7.0. So I don't know why they keep moving the numbers around, but a lot of times the first numbers are correct, and then they try to gear it down to make us not be aware of the massive changes going on, the earth changes. Our sun is just going ballistic, and it's going to continue to do so. So, you know, if you hear me go off the air and your computer starts blinking on and off and you're having trouble getting on the net, that's just a little precursor, you know, to the days to come. So, anyway, that's basically in the news. I would start doing a little internet search on what's happening with, you know, with all the psychotropics and the fluoride and the chlorine in the water and the chloroform and the estrogen mimickers and the Frankenfoods, and you know, start paying attention to what's going into your body, because it's having an extremely adverse effect. Especially these chemtrails, they've been chemtrailing really heavy here, and you know, the couple days later, everybody's trying to figure out where their car keys are and their car, basically. So, you know, it's not a fun ticket, and somebody, you know, needs to be held accountable for all this nonsense. I mean, it is just crazy what's going on, and I just don't think there's any integrity or courage left in any of our agencies, and it's up to the people to wake up and figure it out and just pull away from all this nonsense. Just stop participating in it in any way whatsoever. I love some of the masters, what they said is there's there's three rules. I know we had a talk with Micah Nelson, actually Willie Nelson's son, and he said that we have three rules in our family, and that is, don't be an asshole, and don't be an asshole. You know, So I think Mother Teresa said, you know, there's three rules, you know, be kind, and be kind. And so we need to get back to basics. You know, we need to stop with this me, selfish program, and start looking at how what we do affects others, and stop with all this other nonsense. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about. One, I got this thing in the mail. It was so hilarious, and it was some minister, fundamentalist, sent me this thing, and he was saying, you know, I will tell you who the Antichrist is. And, you know, if any theologian has done the research, they'll find out that the Antichrist is not one Antichrist. There were many Antichrists. You know, it's always been more than one. So basically, it's anything Antichrist consciousness. And then he will tell you, I will tell you the plans of Satan, you know, and I will reveal, you know, all. It was so unbelievable. I mean, I just hearing all these things on here, you know, the plan, you know, and basically, you know, there is some truth to these things. But, you know, basically, you know, I've always felt, you know, isn't it time, you know, to stop blaming God and the devil for everything or giving credit to either one of them? And start just being personally responsible for the choices that you've made and the actions that you've taken. If we do that and then practice those three rules, you know, don't be an a-hole and, you know, and practice kindness, you know, those rules, basically, we could turn this planet around. We don't need a religion to do it. You know, we don't need science to do it. We don't need a politician to do it or any institution. Basically, all we need to do is open our minds, open our hearts, and start practicing from pure intent, and start being kind to each other and the planet. It's that simple. That's all we have to do. You know, all this other stuff is just brain fodder, you know, and, you know, the TVs are filling our minds with so much nonsense, you know, so much garbage. It's just garbage in, garbage out. And if scientists are correct that we are creating our own realities out here and our minds are full of garbage, then, you know, take a good look at what's happening in your outer world. You know, it's a reflection of the garbage on the inner world. So it's really time to dump the fear and the guilt and the unworthiness and all those programs of separation and, you know, and just start dumping that, getting rid of it, you know, getting rid of all the old wounds and traumas, both individually and collectively, and get on with who you really are. I mean, that's just a coat that you've worn in this lifetime and other lifetimes. It's just one of many jackets. And we have to realize we aren't the coat. You know, you're not your personality. You're not your body. You're so much more than that. And when you start tapping into that multidimensional self, your own divinity, all this other stuff is going to fall away, which is what they don't want, you know, so... You know, speaking of that, there is a lot of separation and againstness and confusion, as always, you know, in the UFO community. And I'm getting tons of emails, you know, asking me to address this again. It's just gone, ballistic. And we have one of our members, and, you know, we need to send some prayers out to Richard Boylan because he's got some very serious issues going on. I know he's gone public in all of these forums and events, you know, and you know, it's very sad, but I guess he's named all these people that we're all cabal and we're all have this dark side, and actually we were listed, we made his list, actually we made his good, bad, and ugly list in the I think in the ugly section or bad, I'm not sure, but under there, you know, saying that I profess to have contact and I profess to be in communication with the ships, and I profess that, you know, there is UFO activity here, and, you know, but actually it's a big cabal program, you know, so anyway, I want to see his photos of the ships, you know, coming in and interacting with people, and I want to listen to the people that have been in his groups that are just totally blissed out and feeling this wonderful energy and having spontaneous healings. I would love to see this happening in his groups, as they are happening here, but I don't think he has that program going. So anyway, unfortunately, the cabal has not come to me. They haven't given me a big fat check. I haven't gotten on their payroll, and I've been having to pay for everything myself here. So sorry, Mr. Boylan, I think you need to get your little pendulum out and figure out your energy signature program and find out where the influences are coming in that are allowing you to judge and condemn all these people out there that are putting their lives on the line trying to bring this information out. You know, so I think if I was part of the cabal, I wouldn't be having my brake lines cut and my lug nuts taken off and bullets whizzing by my head. So enough said on that. That's not happening anymore. They've kind of backed off on that stuff. But, you know, the bottom line, it is a little irritating when somebody's out there, making crazy assumptions and statements when they've never read the books, they've never listened to any of my radio shows, and they just go on with this nonsense. And I think it's just a scream for attention. Maybe there's some jealousy there because they're not getting the limelight. I don't know. But anyway, it's not my coat, and I'm not going to wear it. So whatever nasty projections and demons you're experiencing just might be within self, Mr. Boylan. And you might want to go and take care of that stuff, you know, before you start trying to help others. There's an old saying, get your own act together before you start trying to get other people's acts together. And I think that would be a good idea. But that's just a few of the things going on. There is a massive program going on with chemtrails and HARP. Watch your skies. You'll see the massive X patterns, and, you know, the blue skies turn into a toxic gray. And then you'll see all these weird energy patterns up there in the clouds, you know, that are reacting to some other program, you know, some other frequency. And that's usually HARP, you know, combined. And they're broadcasting these energies, and we've found out, you know, from whistleblowers that they are using Gwyn towers, cell phone towers, satellites, all kinds of things too, and HARP to project this energy. I think it's, I can't remember what it is, but the frequencies that they're projecting out are you know, chaos and confusion and anger and every emotion has a frequency, and they know how to transmit these energies. And when you suck up all these heavy metals in your system, guess what? You become an antenna. And so they can actually transmit them even better, through these heavy metals and other things that are in the atmosphere. So we need to pay attention to this. It's there's a lot of people channeling messages out there saying everything is cool. You know, I got another message the other day saying that a certain group has taken over all of the cabal, and now they're the good guys. And, you know, all the Illuminati, everybody are now all under control of the highest, you know, confederation or whatever. And, you know, not so. It's not looking like that in the outer world, so. So we need to pay attention to what's manifesting in our outer world, and just not participate in it. That is the main thing. You know, it's like if they give a war and nobody goes, you know, they don't have a war. So it's time to wake up. You know, if they want to destroy a forest and nobody shows up, they can't destroy that forest, can they? You know, so if they want to, you know, put a giant hole in the ocean and tap into 100,000 PSI, knowing they can't handle that kind of pressure and kill the Gulf Sea, then maybe we should all just say, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I can't participate in this nonsense. So anyway, I'm getting all those emails too from people saying, oh, we can't clean up the damage unless we can drill four or five more wells so we can cover the cost of destroying the Gulf, you know. And trust me, that water is not safe to swim in. I wouldn't eat anything out of that water. I've seen the toxicology reports. So anyway, I think, you know, those little ads you see with certain officials swimming in the ocean are probably taken somewhere else. You know, they're probably taken in Hawaii or the Bahamas or somewhere else. But anyway, I think that stuff is still lurking under there. You know, it's going up the coast, and we're going to see a lot more of that oil. And despite the ads, you know, that you're hearing that everything's cool, you know, go for a swim, eat the fish, no problem. You know, it's not really cool, especially if you talk to somebody that's down there. But anyway, it's just time. We just need to wake up, basically, and smell the coffee and look what we're doing to each other and to the planet. And is it worth it? You know, is it worth it for those little green pieces of paper that aren't really worth anything other than what somebody's promising you they're worth? I mean, is it worth it to sell out your family, your future generations, to destroy the very platform for life? You know, is it really worth it? It's not. It's not worth it. You'd be better off getting yourself a little boat and fishing, you know, if there's any fish left. But you know, take care of your food that way. You know, get back to nature, start growing your own food, raise your own food, you know, pull out of this crazy system that we have, because it's not sustainable. It's definitely not sustainable, and the sun is about ready to put an end to that program. So if anybody's paying attention, we are moving into solar cycle 24, and the sun is expanding, and we are going to see some pretty major events coming. So I know everybody's going, you're a doom and gloomer. No, I'm not talking doom and gloom. I'm not talking prophecy. I'm talking science now. So if you look at the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, you look at what the sun is doing right now, you look at these crazy storms and all these hurricanes backing up one after another, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Now it's statistics. It's not prophecy. So pay attention. You know, pay attention to what's happening in your world. And if you're being prompted to get back to the land and change your vocation and, you know, start working in harmony with each other and the highest and best good of humanity, Earth, then I would start listening to those inner promptings. And if you're feeling guilty about participating in actions which are harmful to humanity, Earth, I'd start listening to that guilt. Because sometimes that's your soul telling you, look, you know, you need to stop. You know, this has karmic consequences, and it may have a long string of events behind it of which you will be, you know, involved. So it's time to break this chain. You know, there are certain people within very high levels that are awake, that are waking up, and they're starting to come forward, and there is a percentage, you might say, of certain people that we do call the Illuminati, that are waking up and realizing this is a no-win situation, and they do understand karma and, you know, action, reaction. So, you know, it is happening. This is happening, but not on the level that some of the people are promising. And to me, there's like a false sense of security given when you make these channelings or whatever, or these prophecies, when it's not really happening in the outer world. So again, you know, it's time to, I always say, you know, it's time to repair on every level, you know, with loving detachment, you know, focus on love, love every aspect of yourself, even your physical body and your family, and take care of all of it on every level. That's the bottom line. Don't do it out of fear. Don't do it, you know, out of againstness or anger or any of these other base emotions. Just love yourself, love your family, you know, love the earth and start acting accordingly. You know, that's the ultimate. Because basically love is the manifesting force behind creation, and there are beings beyond your imagination. They're getting involved right now, and the earth is moving to the next level. And this old program is coming to an end, and which is the good news. And a lot of us have been waiting for that. So the good news is that changes are coming, and this is all part of it. And, you know, the higher beings that I talk to all the time are always talking about love and how love heals, and the planet will be healed, and we will move to the next level. We will continue, and those who pay attention and act on their own inner guidance and that are connected will be fine, you know, in the days to come. But those who stay in denial and continue with actions that are harmful to humanity, Earth, and are not paying attention to their soul and spirit, they will get to, you know, come back and do it all over again. And that's okay, because we're all eternal. So anyway, that being said, I'm hoping to get out to the field. We've got our field line here, and I wanted to talk to some of the people that have had some experiences. And we have a gentleman here that is going to be on the line shortly, a few of them. I'm not sure what the order is. I never do, because I'm in my little radio room and the other phone is out in the field or in one of the other rooms, depending on the weather. So I don't really know who's going to come on first, but we've got some awesome guests, and they've taken some awesome pictures and had some awesome experiences here, and hopefully we can bring them on real soon. So, you know, anybody at the studio there, maybe you can hook up that field line, and we can get out to the field here as soon as possible.
Sure.
All right, we've got the field line open.
Ronnie,
you're the man I want to talk to.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you showed me these pictures, and I know I saw them before, and I don't know what happened to them, but I really want to get another copy of those pictures. But they were like daylight sightings, and you actually, I guess you photographed them on your iPhone, didn't you?
No. I photographed them on my camera, but basically they were by chance. It was something that I just was just taking a series of photos in a circle and trying to get, you know, a picture of the whole panorama of your beautiful ranch here, and they showed up on the pictures after I reviewed them a little closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's the way people get these pictures. It's not uncommon that, you know, people will say, I want to get a picture of the mountain, or I want to get a picture of my folks, you know, standing in front of the mountain. And then they go home and they look at their film and there's these UFOs parked right behind them.
Right. That's exactly what it was. And it kind of ever since after that, it was, oh man, I got to come back here and check it out. But I remember, I remember the light coming out of the mountain on one of my visits here, which was really interesting. It was like a doorway or some kind of a light that just came right out of the mountain. It was just—it was awesome.
And I know that that you've got some photographs of these daytime photos. And could you talk a little bit about what they look like to you? And people say, well, that's a bug or a bird or whatever, you know. Maybe just talk a little bit about what you're seeing on the photograph.
Right. Well, on the photographs themselves, I have one that was really clear. It was super clear, and it was almost you could see the reflection of the sun shining off the top of this disc, and it was dome shaped, and it was it definitely wasn't a plane. You can see the shape of it, and it definitely wasn't a bird. And it was just, I truly believe, a ship that was just coming across the horizon there. And you can see there was movement to it. It wasn't something that was standing, you know, sitting still. It was definitely movement to the object itself. The second picture was way up in the clouds, and that one I had to actually kind of zoom in on it, and it was triangular shape with the same reflection of the sun coming off the top of this object. It was, I will definitely get you those pictures, most definitely. It was, great. They were awesome.
Now, do you have the original pictures in the high definition?
Yes, I do.
Great. Yeah, that's what we want to get so we can do some, you know, analyze these. I know when I looked at them right away, I mean, I had no doubts whatsoever. And I'm, you know, people think I'm just some woo-woo crazy hippie dude up on a mountain. You know, which is far from the truth. I've spent quite a few years working with the top physicists on the planet, basically. And I'm very analytical. I have an open mind, you know, and pure intent and loving heart. But I'm also very analytical about a lot of things. And I try to think, okay, what else could this be, you know, other than the obvious? And I try to come up with something else. And when I looked at those photos, I mean, I had no doubt when I looked at them that, you know, that's a UFO. Look at the energy fields. Look at the sun reflecting off of it. You know, no doubt whatsoever when I saw those that those are a ship. You know, it's not a bird or a crow and you know, a lot of times I take pictures of birds, and it's very clear just on purpose, and crows or eagles flying up there. And it's so clear that these are birds. I mean, undeniable.
But these were cylindrical shape, and the really neat thing about it, these were daytime photos. You know, they weren't something shot at night. I mean, it was just like right in the middle of the afternoon, and they were just clear as day. And so that was great. And,
I hope you brought your camera.
I've been back ever since.
Yeah, I hope you brought your camera.
I did. I had to go down to the store and buy a couple more batteries and taking about 2,000 shots out here in the field. I'm trying to take some ones, night shots of the orbs. I took one earlier. I'm not sure if you remember it. But we were out here, I think it was 07, and I showed you a picture of orbs, of the whole field of orbs, but to the right you told me it was a kind of a energy being. It was a, I'm not sure if it was a cluster of orbs, but it looked like a person standing there, and it was just, it kind of blew me away, and I had to show you that one. It was a couple of years ago. I'll get that one to you, too. That field is just full of orbs.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
What I've seen is these orbs will actually coalesce, and all of a sudden they'll all come together, and they turn into a being. And, you know, that's when Khan, he's a Japanese monk, was here, he actually saw this beautiful green and gold light, you know, an orange light above him. And so he took a picture, and the next light, there were all these beautiful colors of orbs and light spheres all coming in together. And then they all coalesced into a being, and it was Kuan Yin. And it was just, when you look at the picture, it's undeniable. She has the vessel in her hand and riding on the dragon, and just beautiful picture of Kuan Yin. And so he got that. And then I asked him, I said, well, you know, there's this being I work with, Kazekiel, and when we were doing the initiations, the Yigong and the Kunlun initiations, he kept trying to do an initiation on me, and he bounced off just laughing and laughing, and he said, there's this giant golden ball of energy there that bounces him off. And so I asked him, I said, well, next time you see it, can you get a photograph of that? And so he was out in the field meditating, it appeared to him, and here's this huge golden ball of light with wings on it, bright light, and in the background it looks like Jerusalem or some crystal city or something like that in the background. And I mean, you've been in that field. There's nothing in that field, wouldn't you say?
No, it's there is nothing in that field, but there is something there, most definitely.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no city or crystalline city or anything else, not on this level.
No, not.
But he took. He also got a photograph of these felines, which I'll show you. I don't know if you've seen those yet, but you know, these 12-foot-tall felines appeared to him, and you know, it's amazing because we've been talking about this, and I had to get artists to draw these things, and now they're actually being photographed. You know, and
wow.
And you know, you get people like him who are extremely high in frequency anyway. He's able to bridge that gap between worlds and actually photograph these beings.
Wow! Yes. So yeah, it was an awesome trip back here again, and hopefully I'll see something tonight. The weather is perfect tonight for a good sky watch. I mean, it wasn't a cloud in the sky, and I think the moon is at just a little sliver, so not a lot of light pollution, you know, and so. See what happens tonight.
Yeah, I think it feels like it's going to be a good night. I know last night there was a few power-ups came over real early. They came in and powered up twice, responding to the lasers. You know, we've been double-checking and checking and making sure these aren't known satellites, you know, when they do come in. And we had one event that we still can't wrap our head around, but supposedly it was at the same time the space station was coming in, so we aren't putting it out there, but it was massive. It came in very low, and what we did is when we filmed it, and I looked at the time when the space station came out, wasn't that bright, you know, not as bright as this thing was,
right.
And it was huge, and we filmed with night vision, you know, which is green. It's supposed to
be
green, basically, and this thing turned pink, just bright, bright pink in the night vision, and And I've never seen that before. That's a first. And it exploded. The energy came out so intense that everybody felt it. You know, they felt a huge charge. But it was very close to when the space station came over. So we had to kind of not, you know, not err on the side of whatever. You know, we just wanted to make sure that we didn't put something up that was another possibility, because if you do that, you know, you'll get ripped apart by the skeptic.
You know, I was talking the last time I was here. I'm not sure if you talked to him, but it was a person that was out here. He hit with the laser. He hit it was a floating ball of light. He woke up one morning, and it was there. He was by himself, and he hit that light that orb, I can say, I guess it's an orb, it was up in the sky. Mm-hmm. He hit it three times, and it flashed three times at him.
It was
a really cool story. It was a guy who was up here from Northern California.
Oh, yeah, that was right outside his tent, wasn't it?
Right.
Wasn't it right? Right outside, something was lighting up his tent. We're getting incredible, strange things. And the last one, we got this spinning, rotating field. It's up on the As You Wish site. They're putting it up on the website. It's, for some reason, our stuff comes up last on our website, but it goes all over YouTube, you know, viral. And we're the last ones to get it up, but we're working on it. But it is on the radio show. People want to see those shots, and we have footage and photos, you know, of the conference, the 2010 conference, when we had 200 people there who participated in an intention experiment to bring the ships in, and we felt the energy. It was just phenomenal. And they walked outside, and the ship flew right over the conference building, and filmed by some physicists, and, you know, Brooks Agnew filmed it, I think, Renato Langaro, John Riley, who's a Lockheed engineer, you know, all got it on tape. And, you know, William Henry was out there jumping up and down, and Mary Rodwell and Paula Harris, all these people were at the event, you know, top UFO people. Everybody knows these people. So, you know, it's, I don't know what's next. I mean, as far as evidence, you know, if you have 200 eyewitnesses and three people filming it who are top scientists in their field, you know, and engineers, and you know, you have to ask what's wrong with this picture if that's not enough.
Exactly. Well, hey, James, I got Patrick here who wants to say a few words to you.
Great.
Okay, hold on. Hey, nice talking to you. I'll see you out there.
Okay, great.
Hello, James. Patrick here.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I've been volunteered, looks like, here by Ron.
Oh, okay. Did you have something to share here concerning what you've experienced here? Or?
Well, I can say that I've had some sightings of some long cylinders that had joints in them, greenish, light greenish color, right over the mountains when I saw them.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things I've seen here. I've had other sightings in my life, not here, that uh-huh. might be of some interest to you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about them.
My first sighting was in 1966, November 1966. My brother and I were at home. It was a balmy November evening in East Tennessee. We lived way out in the country. It was hardly any light pollution at all out in there at that time. And I was inside, and I probably was studying or something like that. My brother came running inside. He'd been outside listening to his beagles run rabbits, I guess, down there below where we live there. But he came running in and very excited and wanted me to come outside and look at these lights that he said he saw. And so we went out there, and sure enough, here were two lights. They were the size of about a quarter at arm's length. They were somewhat apart, say a hand's length at that arm's length also. They were horizontal, and they were stationary, and they made no sound, and they just were there for some 20 to 30 minutes, I guess, we watched them. There was no aircraft in the area whatsoever. There was no moon. There's some clouds, but most of the air was clear, and we just watched these lights seemingly forever, and finally one went out. Now, I did not try to distinguish whether or not they were part of a craft or not. I didn't even think to look for that. I'm thinking, though, that had there been an outline of a craft, we would have been able to see it. But one of the lights went out, and then it left the one, and then we watched it for another several minutes, and then it started floating. I would say it just started moving up the valley there. It was very silent. made no noise. We felt, I guess at the time I did, that we were being observed. And we jumped in the car and chased it up the valley there, but it disappeared. And that was the first sighting I had. And it was just totally out of the blue. I was not expecting anything like that. As far as I know, no one else saw this, these lights that we talked to in the community. And we did not report anything at that time either. I was familiar at the time with UFOs. I'd read at least one of Donald Kehoe's books back in the mid-50s. The flying saucers are real. So I did realize, you know, that what we were probably seeing was a UFO, either one or two or at least one large craft of some kind. And that was the most significant sighting I've had. I've had three or four more that I didn't consider as significant as that, but that was a real live one that was accompanied with another witness with me there that can confirm that. Also in that same area, it was interesting to know, we told our father about this sighting, and he mentioned that back in the late 20s when he was a teenager that he and some boys had been out coon hunting at night. That's what you do back in those days, I guess. You hunt coons or possums or foxes at night back in that area. And they were out in the woods, in the deep woods one night, and they had there was a shaft of light that just came down and surrounded them. It came straight down from the air. It was so bright they couldn't hardly distinguish anything above it. But my father told us that it was so bright that you could have picked out a pin or a needle from the leaves on the forest floor there. It was so bright. Mm-hmm. And then it just went away, and they never saw it again, and they talked about it for years. But I thought that was kind of interesting. There were certainly no aircraft in the area at that time, and certainly none that were beaming down lights of any kind that we could imagine.
I wonder if they had
some
missing odd times
in
that.
Seen, and of course, I've seen some things here also that are very intriguing.
I wonder if they had any missing time.
You know, I personally don't think I've ever had any missing time. I do know of several cases in the Great Smoky Mountains back where I come from where people just disappear. I know of one case in that same summer, 1966, I was a young 6-year-old boy that was playing within 100 yards or so from his family on top of the mountain there. They have some balls up there where it's not forested. And this kid that was playing with some other kids, and he was within sight of these families that were up there. And this child just disappeared. He was never found. And there was several other cases like that over the years, including one within the past 10 years, I can recall. I don't know if that might be missing time, but certainly there must be some anomalies up in there that where a person just goes into another dimension or something like that is what I would imagine.
Yeah, I know that that was going to be my next question. Was that in the Smoky Mountains? definitely. There's we're getting all kinds of reports from there. And what strangely enough, we're getting reports from North Carolina and the Smoky Mountains are in this area, you know, two spots. So there seems to be a lot of activity. You know, I mean, it's happening all over the world right now, but the things that are real close and personal seem to be happening in that area, and then, you know, they're having things happen in Texas as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been several stories over the years that I've heard or read about in the paper. There's a lot of hikers, of course, that go into those mountains, mm-hmm. and some have reported they seem to go into a kind of a time warp situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the ones that tell about that are the ones that have survived that. But there seems to be some anomalies up in those mountains there that I guess I would maybe compare them to the Bermuda Triangle. People go in, they disappear, mm-hmm. or they go in, they come out, and they've had some kind of a situation where there was no time or the whole dimension was not familiar to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that happened in Australia. I guess a whole group of girls were playing and vanished, and you know, nobody has, you know, excuse me, any idea what happened to them. They just vanished out of the blue. And, you know, people are saying, oh, that was just a story, that was a myth, and I guess they made a movie about it and everything else. But there are people out there that are saying, no, that wasn't a myth, and they supposedly knew those girls, and it did happen. So, well, you know, it's amazing how these stories come out, and there is truth to them. I mean, you track them down to the original people, and you find out that they are true, but then you get on the Internet and start searching them, and you see, oh, that was a myth. They made a movie about it. That was a made-for-TV movie. Well, you know, something happened, and that's where they got the idea to make the movie, you know.
Yeah, these are realities, these events. It's not people making them up. There's a famous area there in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which kind of run parallel to the Great Smokies over on the North Carolina side, called the Brown Mountain Lights. I don't know if you've ever heard of those or not.
I have, and I would love to go there and check that out. Or I've seen footage of it, and some people are saying it's just a magnetic, you know, anomaly, or it might be piezoelectric energy coming up. You know, I don't know. I've heard about it, but I haven't really been there to investigate or actually see.
Yeah.
You know, it could be some inner earth things going on there. You know, who knows?
Could be. I was there as recently as 2 years ago, and there are several outlooks that you can watch for them there. I was a member of this group that went up there and investigated them pretty scientifically back in the 70s. We were never really able to pin down just maybe what they were. There's different intensities of them. I've heard people who told me that they've come through there, particularly after a rain shower, and the whole valley here, from the lookout area over to Brown Mountain, which is about 3,000 feet high, and the valley between these two points would just be just lit up with just like fireflies all over. And the things that I've seen, of course, it looks like little balls of light just emanating up from the ground. They'll go up in the air, and they'll kind of suspend themselves momentarily, and then they'll just disappear. I've also seen a situation where it looks like a giant flashlight is moving along the ground on Brown Mountain. Now, the perspective I've seen this from is about probably three-quarters of a mile away, but that's what they've manifested themselves to me, both as a light moving along the ground, lighting the ground up, actually, and then little fire-like balls that come up from the ground and just disappear eventually.
Is there any interaction with people that has been recorded, or especially kids? A lot of times they have, you know, interactions with these lights.
I have not heard that, although that's a possibility. There's a lot of people have seen them. I don't know what the activity is at present. I plan to go back up there in just a little over a month myself, because I want to be going back east. And I usually go through there just to see what I can see. So I'll be glad to let you know when I get back.
Yeah, maybe somehow get some photographs. You know, nowadays with these cameras, you know, with the really these digital cameras, when you get the, you know, 12 megapixel on up, and you take photographs of these lights, you can blow these lights up and actually see if they're just a light, or sometimes there's actually a face inside of them, and you can tell it's a being. You know,
mm-hmm.
some kind of a being actually manifesting, and it'd be good to.
Well, these lights have been
like
seen
that.
Since before the white man came in that area. The Indians, their legend is that these are spirits of fallen warriors, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's lots been going on there for many, many hundreds of years, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely could be. That could be some kind of a magnetic anomaly there that opens the door between dimensions, and when things are just right, you know, they can actually appear on this level, you know, to where we can see them.
Yeah, they're very similar. The few times I've seen these lights, they're very similar to what I've seen here on Mount Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a plasma gas look to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the I mentioned earlier we had Dr. Sala here, you know, and he was at the base where they shut down the missile, and he was here and saw this object up there on the mountain. It was moving all over the mountain, and he said it was very long and kind of cylindrical and bright, kind of a greenish tint to it. It covered a huge area of the mountain and was moving, you know, from the very top of the mountain all the way down very, very quickly. And we were looking at the area that it was traversing, and, you know, they would have had to go over sheer lava cliffs and areas where there's just massive lava boulders. And, you know, this is an area where there are no vehicles. It's a wilderness area. You cannot take any vehicle up there whatsoever. And there's no roads, and there's no way you could get a vehicle up there. I mean, these are sheer cliffs and snow fields that are you know, very, very steep, and I don't see how you could get any kind of a vehicle up there.
Yeah, that's the same with Brown Mountain. The terrain is so rugged that you can't get vehicles on the side of it or onto the top of it.
Yeah.
It's got a very
I've been up there.
Thin spine.
You know, I've gone up there to this area, and some of these areas you look down, you know, and they have the signs, you know, from the Forest Service, and there'll be like six signs on a tree telling you, you know, where to go, what to camp, you know, where to camp, things like that. And you look down, and, you know, you're standing on top of maybe, you know, 30 or 40 feet of snow easily. And, you know, you look down at the bottom of this tree, and you go, oh, my God, you know, this is... you know, and there's no way, there are definitely no roads up there. There's no way you could, you know, even a snowcat, I think you couldn't take it over lava cliffs, and the terrain is just so, it would just tear it to pieces in no time.
Yeah, the green cylinder lights is what I've been seeing up there. And mm-hmm. You can see joints with them, and when I've seen those, I recall some of the videotape I've seen on TV of some of the things like that around the world.
Yeah.
They're almost like...
We're getting pictures. Yeah, we're getting metallic craft, pictures of these metallic craft with a 45-degree angled antenna on top of them. And then I was looking at other photographs in Spain, and they have the exact same pictures. And I saw some in Mexico. And these craft are exactly the same, and they have this 45-degree antenna on them. And so there is a some group has these. I don't think they're ours because they're kind of non-physical. Basically, they flip in and out from being physical to non-physical. But they're definitely in our dimension. They are physical, or they can be physical, and they definitely look metallic.
Yeah, that reminds me of one of the sightings I saw here just east of here, probably around 10 miles over near the Klickitat River.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was a metallic object, very silvery, very chrome. The shape was spherical as far as I could tell, but definitely not an aircraft and definitely not anything I've seen before.
Mm-hmm. I know. Sala, when he was here, was saying that Bob Sala, actually, I don't know if I should call him Bob or Colonel or Doctor. I'm not sure what is his, you know, if I get that wrong, I'll correct myself later. But he said over at Hanford, and anywhere there's any kind of nuclear activity and playing around with uranium and things like that, he said the ships are there and they're seen, you know, on a regular basis, and they seem to be monitoring very closely any kind of, you know, nuclear activity happening, you know, whatever it is, you know, if it's depleted uranium or you know, whatever is going on over there, they're keeping a very close eye on it.
Yeah, the same thing's true. Most of your nuclear installations, particularly at Oak Ridge, where I worked for many years, all kinds of sightings all the time over there. And then, of course, you remember Roswell, and, of course, the 507th Bomber Group there was the only group in the world that we know of at that time that had nuclear weapons there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that was the same situation as why the craft were showing up there.
Yeah, and that Bentwaters, the same thing happened over there. And I know that you know, he was asking me, he says, well, what did the ET say about, you know, say about nuclear weapons, how they feel about it? And I said, they say get rid of them, they're not going to work anyway. You know, so, you know, they said they aren't going to allow us to be launching nuclear weapons on each other. That's you know, that affects too many other levels and other beings here that are not involved. So they said they will step in and put an end to that program.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure that it hadn't already happened here. I've heard some inklings about maybe there's been a UFO intercept of ICBMs that were accidentally launched back in the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there were
closely following the launches
at Vandenberg and Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
And I was at Kennedy Space Center last week down at Cape Canaveral there, and very interesting place for anyone to go if they're interested in space of any kind. A lot of the original astronauts are dead, such as Gordon Cooper, of course. Gordon Cooper mm-hmm. testified many times in his late life that about his sightings, including the Foo Foo Fighters that he saw during World War II over Germany.
Yeah, I think Edgar Mitchell also talks about, you know, landings and film that was taken and things landing at Air Force bases and then taking off again. And almost all the astronauts have come clean on that. There's a few that are still holding out. You know, but
the only one that really hasn't said anything is Neil Armstrong. But,
He gets pretty upset when anybody challenges him too. He kind of comes off the deep end. So we have to ask, you know, why does he get so aggressive and physical when somebody, you know, asks him that question? You know, why is it he has such a charge around that?
Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, they get mad too when people challenge whether or not they went to the moon. And, you know, we did it 6 times, and there's a lot of good tape left of where they had craft following them to the moon and back. Certainly Gordon Cooper has testified to that. You can go down there and they play this videotape where they actually were filming those and hear the transmissions going on between NASA and the rocket going to the moon or coming back.
Yeah, they have different names for them, you know, Santa Claus and Foo Fighters and MiGs, mm-hmm. and they have all these different names for the craft, you know. But you know, people are, all you have to do is start listening. Okay, what, you know, kind of read between the lines and see what they're observing, and it's all pretty much, you know, easily understood. We've had NASA people come here to the ranch and validate, you know, that there is a lot of activity here and that they are UFOs and not theirs, and they're not the, you know, black projects. These are triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers that have gone on record. They actually testified on Coast to Coast as well. But you know, it's amazing how you ask them, well, will you go sign a statement or go on public or anything else? And they go, no way. You know, you have to use an initial. You can't give their real name or anything else. But they seem to be really afraid of NASA or, you know, having anything to do with NASA and coming clean about, you know, all the UFO activity.
Yeah, I understand. They're held to a code of secrecy whenever they sign up for a government job like that, and there's mm-hmm. higher levels of it that probably we don't even know about. They're maintaining their integrity as well as probably being very, very afraid, too.
Yeah, keeping that pension going, too. You know, there's probably a serious penalty.
Well, it's your job. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'd hate to keep going. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so I'll have to, you know, finish this conversation out in the field. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to do it again real soon.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to go outside now and look for them.
Okay, great. I'll see you out there.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're out of time, folks, so this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Start watching the skies. There is so much activity. Just 2 nights ago, we had 3 huge pink ships come right over the ranch, and I'm sure they're flying over other people's heads as well. So watch the skies. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and stop participating in all this nasty nonsense going on out there. Anyway, have a good night.